readings out of the first book of Samuel, chapter 1. So you will be well acquainted with the opening chapters of Samuel. Before we look at an event that has been recorded for us, again, let us pray and acknowledge our need of the Lord's help. Let us pray. Our blessed God, we praise you for your wisdom, the rich way that you instruct us out of the Holy Scriptures, for we turn the pages of your book and we find poetry, Lord God, we find proverbs, we find history, we find clear precepts. Lord God, you take the lives of your saints and you record it and you present it to us for our own well-being. And so tonight, as we look at some of your servants that lived centuries ago in a completely different culture, we ask for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to take their lives and bring instruction into our lives, that we might better serve you, that we might learn from them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would anyone argue that today was a beautiful, beautiful day? A day that reminds us that before long vacation time will be coming upon us, and hopefully all of us will be able to take a week or two out of this valley during those hot summer months, especially in what we call the monsoon season. Now, for a vacation, a profitable vacation, you obviously need to do a little planning. Perhaps pencil and paper, you write down. First of all, you decide where you're going to go, where you might be on certain days, what you would like to see, what you need to take. And it might be wise to try and figure out how much this little trip is going to cost you. And then, though you may not write it down in black and white, from top to bottom in that list and in between, there's something that you need to do. What is that? Well, it's called prayer. You need to pray about, Lord God Almighty, where would you have us take a vacation? And you pray, Lord God Almighty, you'd grant us journey mercies. Lord God Almighty, grant to us good health. Grant to us, Lord God, protection over our properties. And before you leave on that trip, I assume you gather the family around and you pray for the Lord's mercies. And so tonight we look in on a family who's about to make a trip. They've been away from home. They've been at a place of worship for a number of days now. They're going to go back. What do? They worship. And undoubtedly involved in that worship, there's a time of prayer. And so I pick it up tonight where brothers already read at verse 19. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now the man of Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned. Then I will take him, and that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bulls, an ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as my soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. Now, last time we were in this first chapter, we look at verses 8 through 18. And in so doing, by a very brief review, we started off looking at Elkanah, a man who was showing compassion to his wife. For you see, Hannah was barren, and she'd been that way evidently for a number of years. And there was this other woman, this other wife, Peninnah. And oh, did she ever mock and make fun of Hannah. Made her life miserable, said terrible things. And it always broke Hannah's heart, and now she's in a state of brokenheartedness. Her husband comes along and tries to give her some comfort. And in so doing, we thought perhaps in his comfort to her, there's just a slight rebuke. The rebuke would consist of the fact, Hannah, you're only focused upon what you don't have presently. Hannah, and you're not even thinking about, you're not even considering all the good things you have and presently enjoy. And so maybe a little rebuke, and it seemed to have its place because next we find her doing what? Having communion with the Lord. She goes to the tabernacle. She goes there and she prays. And she's very fervent in her prayer. She's a woman in great sorrow. She's a woman pouring out her heart. And her lips are moving. No words are coming forth. And she's crying tears. And so that brings Eli to observe what she's doing. And he confronts her about that. He's mistaken. He thinks maybe she's drunk. She explains herself, and then he gives a word of blessing, and she is comforted. So we pick it up there. They're getting ready to go home. They rose early. They worship. They return to their house in Ramah. And so the first thing we'll think about tonight is this matter of prayer answered. Prayer answered. You see, Hannah prayed, and the Lord's going to answer that prayer. And we always like to hear about answered prayer, don't we? And we always rejoice when prayer is answered. So God Almighty is going to answer this prayer of Hannah. How is he going to do it? He's going to do it by the usual means of reproduction. That's how he's going to do it. And so you notice the language, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. In other words, it was lawful conjugal relationship, husband and wife. And this same language is biblical language. You go way back to our first parents in Genesis 4, and it says that Adam knew his wife Eve, and they had a child. And so here, God uses the usual means. When people pray, God sends forth an answer. It's usually he uses means to bring about the answer. You pray for your daily bread. What's the means? You work. And you're frugal. And so here. But you notice this little statement, the Lord remembered her. Well, it's not that the Lord God forgot. He does not forget. That's language that is used more than once with reference to the Lord remembering His covenant, remembering this. It's simply saying that the Lord at this point in time begins to fulfill His promise, you see. And so He's putting forth something else here. That this is not a miraculous conception. This conception came about by the normal means. Why, they had had relationships for years and nothing, but now the Lord intervenes, you see. He honors that vow that Hannah made. And so this answered prayer always causes some rejoicing, doesn't it? And so you might imagine here Hannah, after a while she begins to notice something's going on in my body. I'm beginning to feel some different things. And you know, I've talked to other women who've had children, and they make mention of these things. And so there's some excitement in Hannah, you see. More time passes, and she begins to notice other things. She notices other things, and she's so happy. I'm a pregnant woman, and she rejoices. This is something she had wanted for years on end. Now the Lord, in His mercy, is going to give her a child, you see. Oh, she's so happy. Oh, she doesn't worry a thing about morning sickness. She doesn't worry a thing about heartburn. I'm going to have a baby. And she's so excited, you see. And so in due time, there is that deliverance. And Hannah can't believe it. Oh, for so many years she wanted her own child. Yes, other women had let her hold their baby, but this is her baby. Oh, she loves this little baby. She nurses this little baby. She just can't put this little baby down. And maybe she's going to spoil the guy, you know? She is so happy. And you see, answered prayer, it brings such joy. It brings such blessings. But would I be wrong in thinking answered prayer, it can also bring a testing, can it? Answered prayer, can it not bring a trial? Well, how in the world would we get any kind of a trial here? Well, Hannah has this little one. For years she has wanted a baby. Now she has a baby. Well, she promised, yes, to dedicate him to the Lord, but you know, first she's got to wean him, and so that's going to take some time. And so for quite a while, you see, she's going to hold this little one and talk to this little one. And oh, she adores this little one. She's becoming more and more attached. Oh, how she loves Samuel. What's the test? Letting him go. Keeping the word, the vow. And do you not think the devil perhaps whispered in Hannah's ear, Hannah, you know people break their vows all the time. And Hannah, you may never have another baby. Hannah, this is probably it. You better keep this little one. Keep this little one to yourself here at home all the days of your life. Answered prayer. It can bring such joy. But answered prayer, it might bring a trial. It might bring a difficulty. Maybe we could think of it this way. You've really prayed to the Lord about advancement at the workplace. A promotion, more authority, more benefits, more money. The Lord answers that. Don't you rejoice? Aren't you thankful? But have you really thought it through? Could that promotion bring with it some temptations? Could that advancement bring you in amongst people that you've not been around before, that don't have the highest morals? And is more money always the answer to everything? Could that be a problem too? And so answered prayer. It causes rejoicing, undoubtedly. We're thankful for answered prayer. But in some cases, that answered prayer can bring you into the realm of particular temptation, a particular difficulty. And so here is Hannah. Prayer is answered. But in the second place, I want us to think about preparation. Preparation. You say, well, look, I read here, I don't notice anything about preparation. Well, how about Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, and that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. So Elkanah, her husband, said, do what seems best. Just make sure that you honor your word. When the child is weaned, you take him up. Preparation? Yes, Hannah is preparing her son to be a servant of the Lord. Hannah is preparing him, you see, to spend the rest of his life in the service of God. Well, you say, he just is a little baby now. He's just so young. Well, that is true. But Hannah's preparing him. And you know how so many mothers are when they're nursing that little guy? What do? Well, they're talking away to him. Talk, 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 talk.
They enjoy talking to him. They tell him all kinds of things, give him all kinds of information. In fact, some cases they'd rather talk to the little guy than their own husbands. After all, he doesn't talk back. So that's what Hannah did. She was always talking to him. And add to that, Hannah was always praying for him. And Hannah taught him how to pray. We need to be taught. You remember the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." He taught them. We all need to be taught. That is, that we're going to pray and make sense. And so we read prayers. We listen to others pray. And so she prayed for him, taught him to pray. And she informed him about the fact that he was because of a vow, and that he was going to be dedicated to the service of the Lord all the days of his life. And Hannah was a woman, certainly, who could pray, because you look at that second chapter. And Hannah was a woman who was very much instructed out of the Holy Scriptures. Look again at this second chapter. And so she taught her son Scripture. She prayed for her son. She taught her son how to pray. Well, he's so young! Yes. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's older, he'll not forget it. And you remember those words, the closing chapter in the book of Ecclesiastes puts it forth this way: remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. In their youth, they're to be instructed. And again, those familiar words of Paul to Timothy, in that second letter that he wrote, he put it forth this way. He told Timothy, he said that you will not forget, but in verse 14, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood, it's the word that has reference to a baby, to a very young person, you've known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise in a salvation. That little one can learn a lot. Nowadays, the big push is with reference to those at a very young age, you teach them a foreign language, for they're able to grasp it so quickly and so easily. And you take men going into the ministry, they take young men. Young men with that mind that can quickly pick up things. And doesn't have to struggle like an old dog I do. Young. And so here she's preparing him, instructing him. And I remember I was quite young. And my dad was overseas in World War II, and I stayed with my grandma on the farm. And every night before I went to bed, she would hold up a picture and say, "See, this is your daddy. I don't want you to ever forget your daddy." And so quite some time later, we went to the small town. The train had come in. I look up at the post office and the steps. That's my daddy. You see, you can train. You can fill that young mind with what you want it to be filled with. Nowadays, I see young children, they've got, I don't know what they are, smarty phones or something, and all this silly stuff, and I wonder, what are they learning? What are parents allowing them to put in their minds? Children, they need to be instructed out of the Word of God. They need to be taught. They need to learn how to pray. They need to learn how to serve God. And so here, I suggest preparation. But there's another kind of preparation going on. What's that? Well, I think Hannah had to prepare herself. Prepare herself to let her son go. Prepare herself to let him go. This is her son. She loves him. She's invested so much in him. Now she's going to give him away. She has to prepare herself for that. She has to understand, this is according to the vow I made to God Almighty. It is the Lord who gave me this son. It is to the Lord I give this son back. She had to prepare herself for this. She thought about that day, thought about that time, thought about what she might say, what she was going to say to Eli. And when we're faced with doing something important, we got to make preparation. There's nothing wrong with making preparation. This thing of just, as they say, shooting from the hip can be disastrous. As I said earlier this morning, this matter of the basketball championships, those boys are preparing. They're practicing. Right up to the last minute, they're preparing themselves. And I don't know all that's going on, but I see them. They got these headsets on and they're like this. And I guess they're pumping themselves full of music that gets the heart rate up and the blood pressure preparing. So here, Hannah prepares her son. Hannah prepares herself. Well, in the third place, there's a presentation. Presentation. And you notice verse 24. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bulls, one ephraim of flour, three bulls, a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, Oh, my Lord, as my soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. Now that little statement she makes here, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. You go back to chapter 1 earlier, you find that. And I just caught myself how easy it is to put something in the scripture that isn't there. In my mind's eye, I pictured Hannah when she was there in the tabernacle praying. She was on her knees in fervent prayer. She wasn't on her knees. She was standing there. She was standing and praying. I thought, man, you got to be careful putting things in that just aren't there, you see. Well, it just sounded good, and I thought it would look good if she was on her knees. But she wasn't on her knees. She was standing there, and she was praying. Now, this statement, when she had weaned him, and my, oh my, you read the commentators, and you read some of the Jewish historians, the things you come up with. How old was the child when he was weaned in Israel? Well, I get from 22 months to 3 years to 6 years. All this variation, you see. One man made this suggestion. He said within Israel there was three stages of weaning the child. First, within 3 years, weaning from the mother's milk. Second, weaning from a tender age up to 7 years. Then, the child was weaned from childish manners by 12 years old. And so there are those who think he was maybe presented to Eli when he was about 12. Well, you could say a lot younger. Say it was 22 months, but tell me, what would a high priest do with a 22-month-old baby? And you know, when it reads down here, it says he ministered to the Lord. And it says he was young. Well, a 22-month-old baby, what's he going to do? Eli be spending his time changing diapers, this and no, no. So I don't know for a fact. But it's reasonable that maybe he was about 12 years old, because it does say he ministered to the Lord. And so here we have this child dedicated to the Lord. He will spend the rest of his life in serving the Lord. And if you think back after the Lord converted you, Did you not have a great deal of excitement and say, Lord, I'm going to serve you all my life? You think back when you came to an assurance of your conversion. You dedicated yourself to the Lord, didn't you? Oh, Lord God, I want to serve you with all my heart, my soul, my mind. How's the dedication going? How's the dedication tonight? Yes, when you were first converted, there was a lot of zeal without knowledge. And now some of that zeal is cast away because it was of the flesh. But other than that, how's your dedication to the Lord? Do you need to do some thinking about it? That's one of the benefits of the Lord's Day. It confronts us and makes us think about our priorities. It makes us think that maybe we need to make some changes. It makes us think and consider, you know, as far as my dedication to the Lord, I've really allowed myself to get entangled with a lot of the things of the world. So could there be something like, Lord, I want to rededicate myself to you. I want to give myself to you. I want to serve you all of my days. Amen. Well, let us pray together. Our Lord God Almighty, we do thank you for saving us. We do thank you, Lord God, for the privilege that we have of living our lives for you. Help us in our various callings that we would be faithful to you, that we would honor you. And Lord God, forgive us how prone we are to become cold-hearted. Forgive us. This very night, stir us up. Might we, Lord God, think upon our lives and like the psalmist of old, I thought upon my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not. Help us, Lord God, to return to the place of zeal and joy. In Jesus' name, amen.